Dr. Stan here on Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the story behind the story, the news behind the news, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine just what the future will bring. Now I need to remind you that the views that expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and if you have a question, a comment, you agree or disagree, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is in the Monterey Bay area, 464-8295. That's 464-TAX-L. And anywhere across America or in the 73 nations where this Voice of Hope program is being heard, we're broadcasting on the 9.975 megahertz out of Simi Valley here on the Voice of Hope on KVOH. Why, you can reach us at 1-800-5-TALK-AT-ME. That's 1-800-5-825-5528. And if you're out there across America this evening and any place outside of Santa Cruz, any place outside of Northern California, and you give us a call, we'll be glad to send you free of charge, if you're one of the first 10 callers, a copy of Bob Rosio's excellent book, The Satanization of America. I'd just like to know that you're out there listening. Don't even have to go on the air, but you can call here at the station, 1-800-5-TALK-AT-ME. Well, we want to introduce our very special guest this evening, Mr. Mark Phillips. So, Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Dr. Phillips.
Thank you so very much for coming on with us. And we're going to be talking this evening about something that I think we should all be concerned about, and that is these concepts of mind control. You know, most Americans cannot believe there's mind control in America. Why, that's something that comes out of, well, that's off of television, or that's something that happened in Adolf Hitler's Germany 50 years ago. But I would like to suggest to you that we probably have more thought control in America today than existed 50 years ago in Adolf Hitler's Germany, when Adolf Hitler said, you know, it's very easy to, by the clever and constant use of propaganda, to convince those who live in paradise that they believe in live in hell, or just the opposite, those who live under the most miserable of circumstances to believe that they actually do live in paradise. Mark, do you agree that there's mind control and thought control in America?
Well, yes, of course. You know, information control is in one sense, mind control.
Sure it is.
But and we're all existing under that because the medias were taken over in about 1949.
Absolutely. Well, how did you get interested in this, this entire subject?
My situation was a very fortunate one, Dr. Stan. In the 60s, when Vietnam was heating up, I, like a lot of other young men, didn't particularly want to end my life on some jungle battlefield. I would much prefer to serve in an intellectual capacity for my government, and I was fortunate enough to have had the opportunity to be hired by a company right there in Northern California, the Ampex Corporation.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Up in Redwood City.
Mm-hmm.
Ampex had a variety of defense contracts and was working very closely with NASA since they developed a lot of high-tech electronics. And my job was took me into the places like the prison systems, like mental institutions, the Yerkes Primate Centers, both in Atlanta on the university campus there, and also in Colorado. I had an opportunity to observe, with a top secret clearance, mind control, but as they called it in those days, behavioral modification programs.
That's a nice term.
It was a nice term, and really the reality that I shared with the scientists that were involved with it was that it was going to be used in a most benevolent way to literally help empty our prisons, help empty our mental institutions of persons that could not be helped through conventional means. It was going to allow these individuals to lead happy, productive lives without the encumbrances of their insanity. But and the things that I saw working with animals, with the primate center, nothing resembled torture or anything like that. It wasn't anything like what I was exposed to after meeting Kathy O'Brien in 1988. I'll give you a brief background on myself, if I may.
Sure, go ahead.
In 1987, I formed a corporation with the People's Republic of China. It was a joint venture company that was producing large capacitor banks for their mining industry to help conserve energy. They were having to shut down their mining operation because it's such a energy-consuming business that the government was very concerned. Since the doors of China had been opened and they wanted more productivity. So I had a very good opportunity, and I had a partner in the United States by the name of Alex Houston. To cut through all of this, we were very successful in putting the joint venture agreement together. I was president of Uniphase Corporation, which was our initial company. And while after signing all the agreements and getting everything in place and actually starting our factory, having it put together in the Shenzhen province of southern China, I was presented through a Chinese intelligence officer, since I might add the military runs the mining industry. It belongs in a communist country. That's very common. But was approached by a Chinese intelligence officer who voiced some concerns to me in a most peculiar way. He began to unfold my file that I considered highly sensitive and very secret regarding my exposure to the experiments MK Ultra back in the 60s and 70s while working for Ampex. He knew a great deal about myself, matter of fact, everything, I believe, and but that's not what his interest was. He was just trying to attract my interest, and he certainly did it with that, because I felt like that my country had been betrayed.
In other words, this Chinese government official knew all about you and everything you'd done before.
Everything, and of course, there was nothing in my past that I was ashamed of, but nevertheless, I had worked under a secret clearance, yeah. And quite honestly, was a little perturbed, to say the least, that this man had access to it.
Well, believe me, the government has a file on every one of us, some larger than others.
Yes.
And I believe that those are made available to anybody in the world.
Yes.
There's no real struggle between us and China. That's all for the public consumption to justify a large military and a tremendous tax base. But go ahead.
That's quite true. And you said it very eloquently as well. But this intelligence officer opened up a file on my partner in the United States, Alex Houston. He began to show me some of the most distressing photographs. One particular one that's burned into my memory was of Alex Houston engaged in a sexual encounter with a young boy. It shocked me so harshly, because I really didn't know much about Alex, but I certainly didn't think that he would ever engage in anything like that. But nevertheless, the Chinese just simply wanted me to get rid of this guy and get him out of the company because he represented a security threat. He said that Alex Houston was involved in white slavery, child and adult prostitution, pornography, drug running, drug muling, and money laundering. But he prefaced all this with saying it was of the White House. And needless to say, had he not shown me my file to start with, I really believe I could not have believed anything I was seeing or hearing. But he went on to show me more documentation about Mr. Houston's involvement with an organization that many people know as the CIA. And I'm sure that many of your listeners are aware that the CIA is been heavily involved in drug importation into this country for many, many years. But all this aside, I was given the assurances as well as the latitude to use Chinese money to buy out Alex Houston, which I did. And upon returning to the United States, after I had made all the necessary arrangements, I decided that I wanted to look into this a little deeper. So I began to touch base with some of the people that I had known from my other jobs. I worked for Capital International Airways, which the initials alone should tell the people what kind of operation it was. I was recruited by Capital after I left another NASA Defense Department company between Ampex and Capital. But nevertheless, did not know that I was actually working for the CIA specifically. I knew that we did a lot of government business. Taking this story around, I decided after learning that what I saw in the 60s and the 70s had become operational in the private sector, I determined that I had to do something. I kind of became a man overnight, Dr. Stan.
Well, when you suddenly realize the significance of what's going on, really the horror of what's transpiring in our once free society, I think many people such as yourself are motivated to do something if they have a moral conscience, and obviously you do. So basically then, what have you found out as you begin to look behind the shroud of secrecy at what's really going on as far as mind control in America?
Well, the CIA has been involved in mind control really since the 30s, before the CIA was born. The United States government was indeed engaged in mind control research. Himmler, who was Heinrich Himmler, who was Adolf Hitler's right-hand man, you mentioned that on the first part of the show,
right,
about Hitler's involvement in all this. Hitler was more interested in mind control than he was nuclear potential.
Because it has much more of a devastating effect.
Right. And mind control wouldn't destroy the spoils of war. And so he really believed that that was how the world would have to be run on a new world order. And by the way, it was Hitler that coined that term from Nero.
Right. And, of course, anybody who's ever seen The Sound of Music and this one scene where the Austrian Nazi comes in and says to Captain von Trapp, of course, you support our new order.
Whoa! No, I didn't know
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, it sends chills up and down your spine. But of course, most people don't, when they watch The Sound of Music, they're not thinking about that. But he refers to the new Nazi order, the new order. Anyway, go ahead.
At any rate, it seemed as though in 1947, after much debate, apparently, between the Axis powers, there was an agreement to do some rather intensive research in the area of mind control.
I'm going to have to interrupt you right there, Mark, because we got to get to our first commercial.
Sure.
But we'll get back to you in just a moment here on Radio Liberty.
Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we want to talk to you about some of the items we have here that you're not going to get through most channels. And, of course, we carry the books that many of them are actively suppressed. For instance, our book on the foundations, their power and influence. Certainly the foundations, the Rockefeller, Carnegie, and Ford Foundation, have been involved in financing so many of the terrible things that are happening in the world today, whether it's the Ford Foundation financing the immigration movement and the Hispanic revolutionary movement, whether it's the Rockefeller Foundation funding population control, funding the homosexual movement, because that's great for population control, financing Planned Parenthood, which supervises the planned sterilization and abortion in China, whether it's the Carnegie Foundation working to modify our educational programs so that they can control the minds of our youth. What the Reese Committee found back in 1953 and 54 when it investigated the great foundations was that they had taken over control of the America's educational system. Do you think it's only accidental that we have 90 million illiterates in America, that America has either the lowest or the second lowest SAT scores in the entire industrialized world, that so many of our young people now graduating from high school can't get into college without taking bonehead English because they've never been taught the elements of the English language actually how to compose a composition? Do you think that it is simply accidental that we have the moral breakdown in our society? Well, let me tell you, when you've read the book written by the Council for the Rees Committee, Mr. Rennie Wormser, the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, you'll find out that for almost a century now, and of course this book was written 40 years ago, but it is still the classic book showing how these great fort foundations, which have been created by the free enterprise system, have actually organized now to destroy that free enterprise system and replace freedom with fascism, a return to feudalism. The book has been unavailable for many years, originally published by Devon Adair. They couldn't get it circulated through regular channels because of an organized effort to block its distribution, and I know because I talked to the publisher many years ago. The second publisher had the same problem. We've actually put out far more copies than he ever did, and he was a book publisher. Foundations, Their Power and Influence is available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-44-8927. If you'd like to get a taped interview with Mr. Norman Dodd, who was the Director of Research for the Rees Committee, we have that available as well. One of the most shocking revelations of all time, with a gentleman who's long since dead, but he loved America. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now. And then we're right back here at Radio Liberty. And our guest this evening is Mr. Mark Phillips, and we're talking about mind control and how Mark really discovered that this was an active, ongoing government program being used to enslave the people of our land, in fact, in the entire world, because that's what the real agenda is. The agenda actually is a world government under a ruling elite where everybody simply becomes a new peasant in the new world feudalistic system. The ideas of Cecil Rhodes, and the plan he laid out 100 years ago, and that's what the Rhodes Scholarships are about. That's what the New World Order is all about, and that's what all of these organizations which work within the shadows, like the Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderbergers, Trilateralists, are all about, is world control by a world financial ruling elite. Now, if you'd like to call us here, and you're certainly welcome to call and go on the air, 464-8295, or outside the Santa Cruz dialing area, 1-800-5-TALK-AT-ME. That's 1-800-5-825-5528. We just had a call from Anderson, South Carolina, a gentleman down there listening, and certainly we will include you in our prayers. I know how tough it is when you don't have a job. Fortunately, I've got one here on the radio, although it doesn't pay anything. At least it's something that I can do, but I will get your name and address, get that book out. And if you're out there across America listening, and you haven't gotten a book before, and you're outside of Northern California, why, you just give us a call on our 800 number, 1-800-5-TALK-AT-ME. We'll be glad to send you a free copy of our book, The Satanization of America by Bob Rosio. Or if you'd like to come on the air, you have a question or comment, why, you're welcome to do that as well. Give us a call, 1-800-5-TALK-AT-ME. Bob, pardon me, Mark, please go ahead. I'm sorry to have to interrupt you.
Oh, no problem. I've enjoyed listening from my vantage point. Let me take us forth in history with regards to mind control. There's a fair body of research out there. Matter of fact, we hold probably 1,300 books and abstracts on government-sponsored mind control research that has been actually published and is out there if someone were to begin looking for it. I guess we've mailed out tens of thousands of the catalogs of where to find these books. But nevertheless, MK Ultra really was an offshoot of Himmler research studies of multi-generational incest families in Northern Europe. MK Ultra was originally designed to be a behavioral modification program that could produce the perfect soldier. Around 1952, I believe, or December 51, a journalist who we now know worked for the CIA had come forth with a great deal of information that was spread around the country about what a term that he coined called brainwashing that had shown up in some of our own soldiers coming out of the Korean conflict.
Was that Hunter? Mr. Hunter wrote a book by that.
Yes, that's correct.
All right, fine.
But this information was supposed to have gone heavily public, and if you'll notice the term brainwashing and mind control has been pretty much absent from all the dictionaries and from practically every avenue of mental health since that time. I guess the CIA changed their mind at that moment to keep it a secret, because they regarded it then, as they do now, as the most secret weapon that has ever been devised by man.
To control the masses.
Yes. Well, what Hitler wanted to do, Dr. Stan, was to have a few people in his absolute robotic control to run the various sections of the world. In other words, his New World Order. Whereas the people themselves had been dumbed down through propaganda, through the lack of information in their news, they were under what we call soft mind control. And their behavior had been modified so that they believed they were living in some sort of utopia, when in fact, like you said earlier, it's hell. But nevertheless, all this aside, there has still been a great deal of information to surface. In 1971, the New York Times reported from their sources in Washington that a story had actually been documented that the CIA was extremely interested in the effects upon the human mind that satanic rituals, blood rituals, had on the onlookers as well as the practitioners themselves. And they had spent were requesting a great deal of money from Congress to infiltrate these so-called cults all over the United States, Canada, and Mexico, even extending into Central America, because they wanted to do this research study. Well, we have since learned, of course, that they've infiltrated occult cults all over the world, particularly in this country, in Australia. But then in 1977, United States Congress, 95th United States Congress, had to address, because a particular Canadian minister's wife had become a victim of a Dr. Ewing Cameron, who had formed, actually he was the originator of the American Psychiatric Association, and he worked for the CIA, and from 1956 or 7 until the mid-60s, he'd been performing human experiments on anybody that came into his hospital in Montreal, and was being paid by the CIA to do it. Well, this minister's wife, like a Canadian official, I should say, not a minister is in this country, is recognized.
Okay.
But this particular individual did have the authority and the power to bring this to a political head, and he forced the United States Congress to address it. And what surfaced was the information on a secret project known as MKUltra. And they called it a project back then, Dr. Stan, but in fact, it was quite operational. We'd already been using it in special forces because certain types of systematic tortures create some incredible abilities in the human psyche, like 44 times better visual acuity and other astounding seemingly unbelievable things that the human being is capable of doing under mind control. Well, in 1988, when I rescued Kathy O'Brien and her then 8-year-old daughter from their mind control existence, I took them to Canada, and I reconnected with some of the people that I had known from the intelligence community and from mental health and from other areas, and they helped more or less spoon-feed me what they called a field-grade recovery deprogramming process, where Kathy O'Brien literally recovered her mind and her memory and her own persona. She suffered from what is known as dissociative identity disorder. Back in the old days, they used to call it MPD, mm-hmm. a multiple personality disorder. Nothing could be farther from the truth, though. They don't have a multiple personality. They don't have even one full one.
In other words, basically, you get sort of a split because they can't stand the torture or pain or psychological
right.
trauma, and so they have to withdraw from that.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's exactly true. And what they do is they'll develop a persona, a presenting persona or personality to deal with each type of trauma from any particular individual. In other words, they would have a personality for their father, a personality for their minister, a personality for a school. These personalities in many cases, but of course not all, would be totally unaware of the others, which created serious memory problems in day-to-day living.
Right, and of course these things are so incredible for people to realize that they can actually do experiments to produce this sort of thing.
What is so horrible is in 1980 there were 200 cases that both American Psychiatric and American Psychological Associations had identified nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
In 1990, there were there were 212,000 cases in the United States.
But you're not suggesting this is a product of government?
In 1995, there were 2.5 million.
Uh-huh.
That's an epidemic.
Well, admittedly, but is this because of television, because of other mind control games that they're using?
No, I'm talking about just the trauma-based mind control variety, where you've got military guys coming back and they don't know their own name.
Okay.
And you've got people winding up in mental institutions with the most peculiar amnesia problems that most therapists have ever encountered. See, the American Psychiatric and Psychological Associations have been, that's our newest healing art of all. And it's the one with the least amount of information. And they've been operating virtually without any information. The government has retained all information on memory and memory recovery.
Have you ever run into anybody who says that they've known Mengele, the German, the Nazi experimenter?
Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, the woman who was in charge of being Josef Mengele's secretary in Auschwitz while he was conducting these experiments wrote a book, and she had the book published. She's deceased now for about 2.5 years. She was spared dying at the hands of the Nazis because she was Mengele's secretary.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of interesting information that has been acquired over the time about this character.
But did he come to the Western Hemisphere after the war?
Yes, sir, he certainly did.
Okay, have you tracked his influence on mind control in America and his working with the CIA, or is that just a vicious rumor?
No, sir, it's not. Dr. Sidney Gottlieb, along with several other doctors now regarded as the Nazi doctors, matter of fact, there was a physician up in Ontario that wrote a book, Dr. Lipton. You know him?
No, I don't.
Well, he wrote a book called The Nazi Doctors, and he goes into Project Paperclip, which, by the way, Capital International Airways was later named to be involved with. I wasn't aware of it, but nevertheless, they were named. But the Nazi doctor information is extensive. And Josef Mengele's, that's the way it's normally pronounced.
Mengele's, okay.
But his interfacing in this country was fairly significant through Dr. Sidney Gottlieb. It appears that Dr. Gottlieb actually was responsible for bringing him into this country.
And he actually was here?
He was actually in this country for various periods of time, but not any long durations of time.
See, we're the Nazi hunters when you need them.
Yeah, right. Well, they did a good job in tracking this fellow, and there are a number of people that still believe that Dr. Mengele is still alive. He is very dead. As a matter of fact, he died, he drowned in a river. The tissue samples and the bone samples and the teeth and the skeleton remains, I should say, was all positively identified by Nazi hunters as being him.
Okay. Well, I hope that he's roasting right now. He certainly was an evil individual, but he actually played these mind control experiments in our country and other countries here in the Western Hemisphere, didn't he?
Yes. Yes. I have little documentation on his complete whereabouts as to all of where he was, but There has been evidence submitted to Congress as recently as March 28, 1995, regarding some patients who, or persons, I should say, that had become patients of some physicians around the country, prominent physicians in this country, that were reporting that at one point in their life, in the early 50s, they had been victimized by this character in locations that we've been able to absolutely prove that he was, in fact, there.
Now, was he working with the CIA?
I'm sorry?
Was Dr. Mengele's working
yes.
with
oh,
the CIA?
Yes, absolutely.
Because we know that the American intelligence brought many of the Nazis to the Western Hemisphere and used them. Some of them, of course, were rocket scientists, but many of them were into some of the more bizarre incredible sorts of things. We're going to be right back here in just a minute, Mark. This is a fascinating discussion.